Off the Ball.
GAA. And any team that has David Clifford, you know, has another chance of winning. You know, I wouldn't have said Armagh were at a back-to-back level, but they're answering all the questions. They're ticking all the boxes.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
On half past seven of a Thursday, very welcome along. What a show we have for you today. Andy Reid of Nottingham Forest, Republic of Ireland and Spurs and many other things, going to join us just after 8 o'clock. Michael Ryan, the All-Ireland winning player and manager with Tipperary, is going to talk to us about his career and help preview Tip Kilkenny at the weekend. And Irish rugby superstar Erin King is going to join us to talk to us about her recovery from injury. Straight off the bat, we say good morning, Colin.
Hiya, Dara.
And good morning, Dara.
Well, lads, how's it going?
The Ireland team for the Georgia game has been named.
It has.
I mean, normally these games, they don't really matter. You just presume they're going to flip the team around and everybody gets a bit of game time. And there's a performance medal for everybody. Mm. But actually, because Ireland rugby is torn apart by a civil war, who's playing 10?
Sam Prendergast, isn't
it? Oh, shots fired. Your boy took one hell of a beating, column, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, screw you, Munster.
That's the only way we can talk about this now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's how you feel.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just delighted that they're all going to get some game time.
There's a wanted poster for the objective chair. Where is he?
I'm totally
can't be found.
I think they're both going to start a game here.
What a controversial idea.
Imagine we're going to play two games and everybody's going to play.
Yeah.
But you're probably suggesting there to me now, because it's the first game, first day out, they've gone for Prendergast, so therefore Prendergast is favoured by a Munster legend.
You would say Georgia is.
Did I say that? You said that. You literally said that.
Your eyes just told me that.
Oh.
I'm just translating it.
Wow. Yeah.
He is on the bench, Jack Riley. He is on the bench.
Give us the full team there, Darren.
Full team. Jack Boyle, Gus McCarthy, Thomas Clarkson, Cormac Izichukwu, Dara Murray, Ryan Baird, Nick Timoney, Gavin Coombs, Craig Casey, Sam Prendergast, Jacob Stockdale.
Your boy.
Which I'm very happy about. Stuart McCluskey, Jamie Osborne, Tommy O'Brien and Jimmy O'Brien.
It's a good side.
Yeah. Tom Stewart, Michael Milne, Jack Anger, Tom O'Hearn, Cian Prendergast, Ben Murphy, Jack Crowley and Calvin Nash on the bench.
That's a good team.
Very strong.
Considering all our best players.
Very strong.
Yeah, well, available. It's
like, future's bright. Like
Tommy O'Brien, first cap.
Well, yeah.
That's a big story. Cormac Izichukwu getting another run. We kind of have massive hopes that there's going to be an explosion from him this year.
If he can keep healthy, he can have a go at one of those positions in the back row. Hopefully, maybe that sixth position that's still kind of open after P.O. Mahoney's gone. Yeah, he just needs a run of games. He's a bit injury prone, but there's a lot of potential, that guy. A lot of potential.
A great side, all right, on paper for that level.
Yeah.
A bit like the warm-up games for the Lions, though. What needs to be achieved in these two games against Georgia and Portugal? Because the result seems not quite a foregone conclusion, but certainly heavy favourites to win both comfortably. So what do they want from this?
You just want people to put their hand up, don't you? You just want, like a guy like Tommy O'Brien, you want him pushing Mac Hansen there, because for club, he's been one of the best wingers in Europe. But can he do it for Ireland? Now look, this isn't the Six Nations, obviously, but it's a bit closer to it.
These are glorified friendlies. All they want is like how the people, and we'll never find out, but how well did people perform in training and how did they carry themselves and did they do all the work they were supposed to do and were they coachable at a level? Like the vast majority of those players have all been in Ireland squads before.
Yeah,
I think maybe, I'm not sure if Tommy O'Brien's been in squads or extended squads or training squads.
He was
squads.
In training with them towards the end.
But like
last camp.
For somebody like him, it's like this is a low-key way to get all that nervousness of your first cap out so that if he does get called upon for November or Six Nations, because bear in mind, like in November, I know no one's thinking about it now, but at Halloween we're playing in Chicago against the All Blacks. That'll be a big fixture and a big game, and there'll be a lot of, there'll be proper speculation then about who actually starts and who doesn't start and what it means. What does it mean for us?
Like, this is generally where every player gets their first cap, these type of tours. Like every great player for Ireland generally starts with these type of games. So, you know, it's easy to look at them and go, everyone gets a medal. But at the same time, you have to start somewhere. as an international player. Not going to put you out against France generally for your first cap. So they're worth watching, I think.
But we do have depth in many of those positions at the moment now. Maybe seven. Sorry, who's playing seven?
Nick Timoney.
Okay.
He's been a guy that's been there, but never really got a consistent run with this squad. We do obviously need some cover because it really is just Josh Van de Vleer, isn't it, by himself now?
Yeah.
And he is aging a little bit.
Scott Penny.
Yeah, who is second in depth chart for seven?
Scott Penny.
Scott Penny's never played for Ireland.
Yeah. I wonder, Scott Penny be getting on now, wouldn't he?
I don't know, he's 27.
No, he's younger than that.
Scott Penny. 25, actually, yeah. If he's correct. Yeah,
there's no immediate call up now.
I am looking forward to these games, actually. I do want to see the best of the rest, and I mean that with every syllable of that sentence. I mean is that it's best of the rest, because like the best are away, yeah. And this is the rest, and it's a seriously good level. The only problem is there's a bit of a clash with this match.
Yeah,
6 o'clock on Saturday evening, and yeah. There'll be something else happening.
You'll be in Croker.
I'll be in Croke Park. Yeah. I'll watch it back though, but I'll watch highlights.
Watching the coronation of Cork as All Ireland favourites. 424-39 is what you believe in your heart and soul. 316.
Which score? What do you want
to say? 424-316.
424. Well, the game.
That's what you think.
A game for the ages. Dublin have scored 316 and they lose. That's the headline.
Not in Hurling.
Not in Hurling, no?
No.
Not for you?
No.
That's the, 316 is not you think that's games. The average, isn't it?
30 points is the magic number these days.
That's still quite impressive to go out with that number. So that sounds like a great game. Looking forward
to it. I
think
there's a scare in this for Cork now, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it'll be close, yeah.
Yeah.
Close when people let on.
Yeah. In what sense?
Has your mood improved since yesterday?
My mood has never altered. It's actually a travesty that I have to sit here, talk hurling with someone from Kildare, another fellow from Sligo who's from Limerick when it suits him, and now a guy from Cavan.
Give me some
hurling counties to talk with, like. But anyway, go ahead. State your case. Why will Dublin trouble
Cavan Cork? Hurling
Cork exceptionalism right there. That's it. Like, let's just
Kildare
that.
Are a hurling county. I don't know what you're talking about. Kildare are a hurling county now.
Where are they now?
Ah, listen. Don't be looking down on people like that.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. You, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Oh, absolutely. Very much so. I bear that in mind.
I bear that in mind last
24 hours. Yes, very much so. Very much listening to you and looking at you.
Oh, okay.
Very much. But why do you think Dublin will trouble Cork? Part two.
I don't think it was a flash in the pan that they beat Limerick. I think they're actually a half-decent side.
Serious outfit. Do you think, though, that if a county goes to the well like the way that Dublin did, that it can only be done once in a year?
No.
Because it takes out so much of you. Maybe twice. Maybe you can do it
twice. There's got to be belief in that squad now. Like, because Cork struggled past Limerick. They got hammered by them earlier in the year and they've just beaten Limerick 14 men pretty comfortably. Why can't they believe that they can beat Cork? A team that's lost to Limerick. I know sport doesn't work like that, but at the same time, they're surely not far off the same level as them.
Dublin not far off the same level as Cork?
Right now. Form-wise. They've just beaten Limerick and Croke Park.
I know, Dara. You're just giving grist to the mill here to them.
I'm just like, yeah, okay. I just don't think it's that crazy.
Listen to them dismissing you.
Dublin can see that to themselves as a level. That's no problem.
I don't think it's that crazy at all. I really don't.
Sure, we'll come back to this. We have hurling later on with somebody who's from a hurling county. He'll be allowed to stop speak to you if you want.
Yeah,
you can talk to somebody who you trust. Yeah, fair enough. What a dick. Anyway, we should talk about the Lions yesterday. Your boy, Jack Morgan, 10 out of 10.
Boy, yeah. 10 out of 10. He was brilliant. But you don't see too many 10 out of 10s in any sport. That's pretty unprecedented.
Raducanu was 10 out of 10 according to all of the British papers. In fairness, she was very, very good yesterday, but so he's man of the match.
Yeah,
he's wearing a medal around his neck, getting interviewed on the pitch afterwards.
Yeah,
and he's out of your team after the back of the performance.
No. He was out of my team after the Argentina game, but he's back in it now, I would say.
Oh, you've changed your tunes before, like about 9 minutes ago before the show started.
How can I not change it? He's by far the best player on the pitch.
You got influenced by the player ratings. As a selector, you can't be doing that, Dara.
And I need a Welsh player in there anyway. Like, Tomas Williams is gone. So there's none in the 23 without Jack Morgan.
So now you're in the 23.
No, he's in. He's starting, but I'm just saying Thomas Williams would have been on my bench.
Unpatriotic.
Thomas Williams would have been on my bench, but now he's gone. But listen, Jack Morgan deserves to be there. He was class. He was everywhere yesterday.
A lot of people won't have seen the game yesterday because it was on during work.
Yeah.
A lot of people will have watched it at work while pretending to work.
Is that a shot at?
No, no, it's not a shot at anybody. Wow. Whoa. Precious.
We were watching it.
You're allowed to watch. It's your job.
What did you think of it?
Good question. Like, impossible to know. They have some defensive issues, which the Reds managed to exploit. That's the type of thing that they probably need to pick a team sooner rather than later to try and get more of the combinations going together.
Yeah.
I see everybody's raving about Bundy's performance as it being a way of helping the Mercurial 10. I'm like, oh, is Bundy that different a player from Tuipulotu that, like, all of a sudden something different is happening there? I don't know. They were asking about the centre partnerships. I don't think we're any further along knowing.
No.
I think what they understand is that they can do anything with centre partnerships now. Essentially, the two Irish, the two Scots, either of the two Irish and the two Scots paired together. I don't think they'll pair the lads that played against Argentina together again.
No, that didn't work.
Ringrose versatility maybe gets them on the bench and keeps them out of the team, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, I wonder if Elliot Daly's injury now actually negatively affects someone like Ringrose, that he gets that kind of Kieran Frawley treatment where it's like, oh, you can play a few different positions.
On the bench you go.
Number 23 it is for you. Like,
The other thing that's happening is that Telegraph are reporting that Owen Farrell is going to be replacing Elliot Daly. Daly just, it looks like he might have broken his forearm or certainly something significant damage in a tackle. Very unfortunate because he was playing really well. A last second replacement for Hugo Keenan. Was praised afterwards by Andy Farrell for how seamlessly he took his place in the team, and now it looks like he might be gone. But every cloud and all that, how comes the manager's son?
It looked so nasty when he had the arm out at Eddie Daly, and the way he held it straight away afterwards. Yeah. This just looks so bad. And in a depth chart, a fullback, suddenly as of today, it's quite short. Don't know how ill Hugo Keenan was. I don't know if this is like the re-emergence of COVID.
Apparently,
or if he just had a...
He puked his ring after. He'd been puking for a few days.
Really?
Yeah. The exact phrase from Andy Farrell was...
Puked his ring.
He was fine. We thought he was fine. He trained okay. And then this morning he had his breakfast and all came straight back up. So.
He did say it'd be okay in the next couple of days though.
So then you have Blair Kinghorn, who's with the camp now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have loads of fullbacks.
So now it's good. Like, so
we
then,
really have loads of fullbacks.
But here's the question, right? Here's the question. Is Owen Farrell in for Elliot Daly, the maker of an improved squad?
What do you mean? Like
Owen Farrell is, I think, now the best, second best out half on the tour.
So
immediately. You need out halves.
Even as good and as versatile as Elliot Daly is, it's a better squad now if Farrell is in and Daly is gone. For argument's sake, for the rest of the tournament, we don't know the result of the X-ray yet.
No, is Farrell fit and is he...
But
his form?
A unfit Owen Farrell, do you have his influence there?
Hasn't played an international game since the World Cup.
Huge experience though. The squad, is it festooned with experience?
No, not really, no. There's only...
You have three players who've been on three tours.
Including Daly.
Including Daly. The other two are the captain and the tight head.
Ty Furlong. Yeah. And now you have someone this will be his fourth tour now.
It doesn't mean that there are young players there. So it's Jameson Gibson Park first tour and he's not young. Yeah. And Finn Russell is certainly experienced and has played before.
Yeah.
So age-wise, it's actually fine. It's more experience at that level.
Finn Russell kind of did three tours. He was on the 2017 tour. I just don't think he played at any stage. He was there for like a week. But I like that Owen Farrell's come on the tour. I don't know. He's not a direct replacement for Daly at all. They don't really play the same positions. Farrell's a 10 and 12. Daly's a 13 winger and 15. But it is just, it's just box office though, isn't it? It's great.
This is... was it Malcolm Marks, the hooker doing his ACL and getting replaced by Razzie in the World Cup by the kicker who kicks them to glory? Like, yeah. This is... Yeah. When he's standing over the penalty to win it in the third test, everyone goes, yeah, this is a genius move. Absolutely genius.
Do you think he probably does play in the test now, doesn't he? That's the only reason you bring him.
I think he's the second best.
Finn Russell on the bench.
I'm not joking. I think, no, Finn Russell starts. But on the bench, you have Owen Farrell as the second best. Like, that's how it works.
Can you imagine the bands when...
Finn Smith.
Can you imagine the bands when Owen joins the squad? And his dad introduces him.
I know, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be good. You wish you were there. Hopefully they'll capture that in the next episode of Living with the Lions.
Phone call.
25. Phone call. Does he just text the family group? Come over.
Year round. I wonder if he plays 12.
But you see, we just talked about the centre's options there, yeah. Didn't we? So like...
It really does simplify it.
I love the look of the Scottish pair. I think Hugh Jones is unbelievable. Like... Take it for granted that the try he scored yesterday was the 7th of 8. Funny enough, another outside centre scored the next one. Guy Ringrose scores the last try of the game. But Hugh Jones, the way he picks up the ball, runs, the pace of him. If the context is fine, it's against the side that they're beaten already.
Yeah.
You're hammering them. So every player is probably going to run a bit faster in that instance. But it's something different that you don't see an awful lot from centres. Sheer pace of a winger.
I'd worry about him defensively. And it depends who's on that left wing as well. If you want to go all Scottish all the way to the wing with Doohan.
I don't know if I do.
That's very weak defensively. We saw it there yesterday. That try.
Yeah, but if you look at it in a positive sense, very strong attacking.
Yeah, there's two sides of the game though. You need both.
But the Lions could be better than Australia. So therefore the attack could be better than the defence.
You think?
I actually still want to go. Seems like James Lowe has one side tied up.
You would think so, yeah.
And Freeman has the other. Even as good as Rick Rose is, as good as Bundy Aki was yesterday, and has been so far, still probably go to Tuipulotu and Hugh Jones. And then a fullback. Depends how sharp Kinghorn is and how quickly Keenan can return.
Well, Kinghorn has been playing rugby.
Which can help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very high level as well.
But he's had a really long season.
Yeah.
Flight over. Yeah, could be a bit fatigued.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lovely option.
Yeah.
Because there's a load of combinations you can have there. Like the bench would be fascinating because you'll have scrum half and out half cover on the bench. And that, if they go 5-3, that three, that third, huge call.
Yeah. I wonder what happens to Marcus Smith now. Is he just...
I don't know if Marcus...
No chance at all now.
Good Taurus, bit of crack, midweek games.
The thing is, right?
Very much.
The thing
is, 10.
It's 2.5 weeks to the first test.
Yeah.
There's still, I think it was 3, possibly 4 games left in that time.
Yeah, at least 3. Anyway.
There's one fixture to be confirmed in terms of the opponents. I think it'll be a mix.
They've also picked up a tour ending injury in every game.
Yeah.
And so if that continues, that could get worse
the balancing act of that, of giving it your all but not getting injured.
Yeah,
it's huge. Like,
well, you don't get in the team if you don't give your all.
And look, Thomas Williams was having a blinder. He got injured scoring a second try.
Was potentially playing himself at least onto the bench, you know?
Yeah.
On your most recent edition of Off the Ball, we had this.
It would be fantastic for hurling if Dublin could manage to pull off. To me, this would be a bigger performance than Limerick.
And this.
You know, we're quite a conservative bunch or country in a way. Still, yeah. I suppose it's also important to know, like, in a world that's kind of regressing, you know.
That's the thing, yeah.
You know, it's so important that we're now, as a small country, pushing through to try and change.
If you need to catch anything Off the Ball related, you can find it now on the Go Loud app and join us live on the radio each weeknight from 7.
A reminder, Off the Ball Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. I just want to do the newspapers this morning. Some great coverage of the DJ Carey trial, which obviously didn't go to trial in the end because he pleaded guilty yesterday. He went from scoring goals to scoring money from kind people, is how Miriam Lord puts it. And the Irish Times have the picture of him on the front outside the court yesterday where he pled guilty. And now we will await the sentencing, which will happen in October. There was a time when action pictures of Kerry, who will be sentenced in October, appeared on the back pages of newspapers. He's front page fodder now. And that is true. Front pages. The Irish Sun. DJ, I'm guilty of cancer con. Cat's Ace pretended he was ill to scam cash. Hurling legend DJ Kerry has pleaded guilty to a cancer con, is the headline in that one. DJ guilty of all chargers is the headline on the Star this morning, and they have the notorious picture now of DJ Kerry with what appears to be a mobile phone charger up his nose and taped across his face, with the picture of him on a pillow taken, which was obviously sent to elicit money from donors who were under the impression that he was getting cancer treatment in the States for an aggressive but non-specific cancer. There's an interview that he did with Ray Darcy around the time of 2015, where he talked about Noel McGrath having cancer and coming back and playing an All-Ireland final, and how, you know, some people were able to beat the cancer. DJ obviously managed to beat that cancer because it didn't exist. Former hurling superstar DJ Kerry has pleaded guilty to scamming people out of money to treat non-existent cancer. Icon admits he lied about having cancer to scam cash. I don't know if you saw the RT News report last night, but they used the footage of potentially his most famous point, the one against Clare in the All-Ireland final, where Ollie Baker is there, like, and he just slaloms around him, puts the ball, keeps the ball on the hurl, never takes it in his hand, and cuts across it with one swipe. And you're like, wow, this is a high watermark. And as Arthur was pointing out pre-show, the Jubilee for that team is coming up. For that very successful early noughties team are coming up. So what kind of reception will DJ Kerry get at Croke Park if he shows up? Will he show up? Will it, I mean, obviously, there's one this year, the All-Ireland final, there's a Jubilee team. And that is, so what year is this? It's the year 2000 team. I mean, even if it's their best player. You know? And the Jubilee crowd will be announced. You won Hurler of the Year. What does the little pen pick they give? Young Irelander, superstar, teenage hurler with St. Kieran's, the whole country agog at his talent.
Yeah.
Is that what, and he comes out and he waves. What's the response like?
No, if people were nuanced enough, they could cheer out both sides of their mouths.
Like, that's a very Irish response, an Irish solution to an Irish problem. Boo! Boo Earns.
It would be like, you know, applaud for the career, stop for the person. Applaud for the career, stop for the person.
That sounded pretty weird in Croke Park.
Well, that would be more like a chant.
Yeah.
That we will rock you for DJ Kerry. Is it, you know, it's like, if you know, if there just wasn't sums involved, you might get away with certain forms of Irish society, you would say, oh, what a rogue. But then it got real serious. I'd say it's done.
The Mail, they've got pieces on it. There's pieces everywhere. Former Cats hurling icon pretended he had cancer to dupe his victims into giving cash. That's why. Sorry, there was a line there about how he. Now, okay. Well, I can't actually find it now. But, like, genuinely staring down the barrel of jail time at this stage. Perhaps the guilty plea. The early guilty plea will save him jail time, or will certainly end up with many of the years at the end of a putative sentence suspended. So we shall see what mood the judge is in on the day that the sentencing happens.
Do you know the other thing too, right, about Irish society, right? We can't really talk about this.
What do you mean?
I'd love to go full in on this with DJ Kerry, but it's like, oh, you got to hold back here. You know.
Well, why?
You don't want to get all, suddenly you're thinking, oh, this could get litigious. This is just a conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Is that Irish society or is that just?
No, it's Ireland. I'm telling you. We'd all love to talk about this. To give opinions. We can report it. Give us another few lines there. Sure.
Well, so obviously everybody's tracing his career. You forget that, like, there was horrific stuff in the morning of the All-Ireland final in 2003. was it 2003? The Sunday Independent reported that his marriage had broken up.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to get the exact.
Yeah.
So off the field, he was suffering some personal battles. On the day of the 2003 All-Ireland Hurling Final between Kilkenny and Cork, the Sunday Independent ran with a front page story about the breakdown of his marriage. He later wrote a piece in the Irish Independent criticising the coverage. It's the same media group. It was a private matter between Christine and me, yet some newspapers seemed to think it was okay to pry into our affairs. That is wild.
Yeah.
You know? And he did talk about the pressure at 27. The team got beaten in a game and he retired. And 6 weeks later, because of the deluge of letters that arrived at his house begging him not to, he came back. So, like, there's obviously a tragic element to this. And he did defraud a load of people of a load of money on, so like, while, you know, there are elements of this that are pure farce, you can't be taking money from people.
Yeah, there was one of the headlines this morning was, I donated 10,000 euro to him because I felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Front page.
Noel Tynan, owner of the Celt Bar in Dublin City Centre, is one of the 13 people who carry pleaded guilty to approaching for money. The list of people was pretty shocking, really.
It's just so hard to come back from something when you appear vulnerable and people take it to be authentic and it turns out it wasn't. It's very difficult for the human side.
Betrayal of trust more than
the return.
Else,
like, yeah.
Yeah,
but I don't know, if you're asking about the Jubilee return and all that, like, generally speaking, open to redemption.
Like, do you have to be invited to that, or is that just,
I don't know, you see this,
can I just show up at the gates and be like, I was on that team, you have to let me in.
I'm kind of saying it half jokingly, but you never know. Can I get the Telegraph off you there, the feature section there, Wimbledon,
yeah, the Dalai Lama,
right? Emma Raducanu,
yeah,
the actual sports section.
Is it not in the feature section? No, I don't even know. That's fine. Emma Raducanu. Love is the most powerful drug, Ger. If it is love that she's feeling at the moment. She handily beat Marketa Vondrousova 6-3, 6-3.
Former Wimbledon champion.
Won Wimbledon 2 years ago. Mm. And another seed left yesterday. Jasmine Paolini, who got to the final last year, is gone. Just in three sets, having won the first set. And the reason I asked you for the newspaper, Ger, was that the Telegraph have a handy list of all the seeds that have gone out on both sides of the draw. And it's insane. It's like potentially record breaking.
Would you fancy her to win it now?
Emma Raducanu.
No, she's got
not a chance. Jesus. No.
She's got what you call her next? Swiatek.
Oh well, Iga Swiatek's not the greatest player at Wimbledon. And look, maybe my not a chance no is slightly premature because there is no favour of Wimbledon. As I was trying to outline yesterday, for the last 10 years it's absolutely all over the place who wins Wimbledon. There's no favour.
Not Swiatek, sorry. Who's the
Sabalenka. Sabalenka's best player in the world. And should win it from here.
Sabalenka was just hanging out.
But
yesterday
Sabalenka
on
hasn't
BBC.
Got to a final at Wimbledon.
She was just hanging out on BBC with Claire Balding for about an hour. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I'm here. Oh, you're playing Raducanu. Whatever.
Yeah, she had time. Like, she won this easily, you know? It's so interesting to me in tennis and this sport, right? Where it is one of the better sports for equality, generally speaking, that men and women play. They share the stage together. And they're both seen as like, you know, watch a man's match and watch a women's match, no problem. But it is bizarre to me that one play best of three and the other play best of five.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Either have the men play best of three or the women play best of five as well, but have it aligned. Now, it's better for the schedule because matches move along faster.
Yeah.
So best of five for two sections of the draw, you probably have to add a third week to the tournament. But I just think it's crazy to me, like, that there's that real obvious inequality between the genders in a sport that's actually much better than the average for being equal.
It's fairly cutthroat as well, because someone like Coco Gauff loses the first set
you lose the first set, you're essentially match point for the whole.
So
Coco Gauff loses the tiebreak in the first set, she's appalling in it, loads of double faults, loses then no time in the second set because her head's all over the place, but by the time you catch your breath you realise what's just happened.
You wouldn't go against her
middle of the next
taking three in a row, like,
now,
in a best of five.
The men outside of the Sams play best of three all year round.
Yeah,
so best of five is only a slam thing. And look, best of fives, Andy Murray said it himself, he said this year, last week when he announced he was going to get a statue, it's like, oh, will he be going? He was like, no, I don't watch tennis as a fan. Like, he's been saying a long time, it's like best of five is too long. It's a guy, and that's Andy Murray, like Andy Murray, who Novak Djokovic recruited to be his coach, like the tennis obsessive, huge IQ. I don't really like watching best of five matches because they go on too long. Like the Alcaraz Sinner French Open final.
It pays
a classic,
off.
A classic at the end,
that's
right?
The whole point.
A classic at the end.
It's like
but
the snooker.
People are only paying attention. People get into it about the fourth, end of the fourth set. They're like, Jesus, there's something happening here. Like, so they put the work in for about 3 hours before and now you're coming to it late.
Yeah.
And then you're seeing right at the end, you know?
All right, very quickly. The back page of the Mirror, speculation that the all 9 yards, this is Manchester United's new target. They're not going to get Gyökeres, it seems. So it's Ollie Watkins is who they're focused on. and that's really it. The Examiner leading with the Women's Irish Open, which starts today in Carton House. 16 Irish players. It's the biggest Irish contingent in the golf field ever.